Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchady, Marco Marquez on this Wednesday, June 22nd. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Gary Lezak for the forecast. I think he gave the forecast, but it's
buried in all the other stuff. Really.
Going to rain at some point, and then it won't. So that's what we've got taken care of. And right now we have a special guest in the studio, a good friend, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and joins us from time to time. Always good to see Rob Riggle. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm well.
It's good to see you here. Do you like how cold the studio is?
I was just, you saw it, right? You saw my teeth chattering, the blue lips. You guys keep it, frosty.
It's my fault. I'll admit it. I need it to stay alert, and I like that. And I always, I read somewhere, because I had never had the pleasure of going, even though I loved David Letterman very much. I read somewhere that he kept his studio very cold, and he liked it that way. And people always commented on that, and I would tell Nate that. And I don't know if Nate believed me or not, but he always complains about how it's cold in here and everyone else. And you, what did you say? The first thing you said when you came in here?
I said, this is like Letterman's studio.
I love you.
I could tell you I validated you.
Oh,
I
verified that. You have no
everything.
Idea.
That's true.
You have no idea. I have not complained about the coldness. I do the old the little old lady thing. I come in with my shawl on and zip up my hoodie.
I don't blame you, though. It is cold.
But when you said that, because anytime anybody comes in here and says, boy, you guys keep it cold in here, he always says, you know, David Letterman always kept it cold in his studio, and I'm big Dave Letterman.
I was a big Letterman
so when
fan.
You said that, you have no idea how
right.
You hit the right button right off
the bat. That's awesome.
A sweet spot. Big smile. I love that.
Everybody
very
loves
happy.
Letterman. We all love Letterman, though.
That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, listen, Kansas City is as advertised. It was so hot yesterday.
Right.
And then the rainstorm last night was magnificent. I miss a good thunderstorm. And then and it's cooled off a little bit today, so it's classic Kansas City.
So let's, speaking of classic Kansas City,
yeah,
big slick celebrity weekend, year 13?
13.
Can Does that you blow your mind?
Oh I gosh. Know, big slick 13. I can't believe it. And I can at the same time, too. You know, everybody, so many people here in Kansas City work so hard to make this thing happen. And we all know it's a good cause. You know, Children's Mercy does amazing things, and they don't turn any child away. So that's a big, they need a lot of funding. They need a lot of funding. So. Mm-hmm. And we try to make it as fun as we can. You know, it's a fun weekend. The thing that I always like the most about it is whoever we bring in of our celebrity friends, and I'm always recruiting anybody I work with. I always end up inviting them to come back to Kansas City. Inevitably, they leave after Big Slick weekend just bragging about Kansas City, talking about mm-hmm. what a great town this is, how nice the people were, how friendly everybody was, how much fun they had. And they discover Kansas City. A lot of them, you know, unless they're touring artists, whether comedian or musician, a lot of these, you know, actors don't get a chance to spend much time in Kansas City. And I just love turning people on to Kansas City because it's such a great town.
You know, and I'm glad I saw that the Joe Tessitore is coming in. I'm a big Joe Tess fan, and I was lucky enough. Several years ago for Tuesday Night Fights on ESPN, I ring announced, and he was the play-by-play guy. And, of course, you were with him on Holy Moly, and he's become one of the best, I think, one of the best play-by-play guys in the business.
For sure.
And so, you worked on him. He said, Joe Tess, you got to get to Kansas City, right?
Absolutely. Joe is such a cool dude, such a nice guy. Easy hang. I like guys like that, and he is so much fun. So when I said I would love for you to come back and join us for Big Slick, he was all about it. He was all over it. He moved his schedule around. He changed things so he could free up his whole weekend. And he's coming in. And we're going to have a blast, too. I think we've got some special things planned for the show on Saturday night. Should be really, really cool. Plus, speaking of recruiting, like I ended up doing an episode this year of Impractical Jokers, right? And I love those guys. Right.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
I had so much fun with those guys. Hilarious. And they're really, really, they're a great hang. Again, they're a really fun, fun group of guys. And of course I invited them. You know, anybody, like I said, if we interact professionally, there's a good chance you're going to get invited to Big Slick. And they, and Q and Murr are coming in. So I was real happy about
that.
That's
awesome.
And we're going to have a good time.
That show's great. That show, my whole family loves to watch that show. Those guys are great. And they do. They just seem like your buddies.
Yeah.
You know, they just F with each other all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This is great.
Yeah.
When you said that about the civic pride thing about bringing people back to Kansas City and how much they love it, we had this big celebration last week because the World Cup, you know, got announced.
Yeah.
It's coming to
so
Kansas City.
So happy about that. It was so
right?
Cool. Yeah.
And I've been asked to do a few interviews in other markets because in some of the markets that didn't get the World Cup, they can't figure out why did you guys get it over us? You know, like Philly saying that, Nashville saying that, Denver saying that.
Well, welcome to the new world.
Yeah.
How about that, Philly? How about that, Nashville?
Yeah. But it was like exactly what you said. I think everybody in Kansas City always feels like if you ever come here, we'll show you a good time, and you'll brag about this place, and you'll talk about how you had no idea what a great town it was. And
absolutely.
I think that's what everybody wants to do with the World Cup.
Absolutely. And you know, I've over the last decade, I have watched our downtown skyline get more and more interesting and fascinating and cool looking. And the when we landed and were driving in from KCI, you know, the lights downtown are fantastic. I mean, the city is really moving. It's really growing. It's really starting to discover itself. And we can accommodate anything any other city in this country can. There's no reason that it shouldn't be us.
Yeah.
In fact, there's more reasons it should be us. So go pound sound, Philly.
How excited are you about the NFL draft coming here next year?
I'm stoked. Again, just another example of Kansas City stepping up onto the stage. And that's another great example of how we get to do it. So I'm excited that's going to happen.
Okay, so you love Kansas City, and you get a chance to travel around this country a lot more than we do. And so one of the other big debates right now in Kansas City, you talked about the skyline. What is your opinion on a downtown baseball stadium?
A downtown baseball stadium. I do like that. I like when they incorporate sports arenas into their downtowns. Does it work for Kansas City? I don't know. Maybe. I'm always open to discuss anything. And if you can make me believe it, okay, I'll get on board. But, you know, the old school traditional part of me is like, I like the Truman Sports Complex. I love the way it's set up for tailgating and for getting in and out, and how it's set aside as and now they need to build more roads to egress and income, and they need to expand the roads, widen the roads. You know, they need to do things to make it easier to get in and out. But you know, there's a lot of good about the Truman Sports Complex too. So
okay, so we know you love the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and I still smile when I think about we're in the same vicinity watching that playoff game against the Texans.
Oh,
when they were
yes.
when they were down, and I wanted to throw myself down the flight of stairs, and then they came back and we were excited, mm-hmm. and I interviewed you at the Super Bowl that the Chiefs won.
Yes.
So I'm curious, when you first heard of the Tyreek Hill trade, were you mad, or then you saw the draft picks, or were you glad? Like, what was your reaction when you saw the Chiefs had traded Tyreek Hill and what they got for him?
First reaction, just sad. I was just sad. You hate to see the band break up, you know. There's some because he's part of the Super Bowl winning team, you know. So first gut shot reaction was I was just sad to see the band break up. However, you know, you got to be an adult. This is business also, you know. Change is inevitable. These things happen in professional world, in professional sports. okay. And I want to trust our general manager, our ownership. I want to trust that these guys, you know, are they've done a lot more thinking on this. They have a lot more insight than I do.
Right.
They know things that I don't know. You know, so I trust them to make the best decisions possible, and I'm sure they are. So good. And I think there's, you know, there's only going to be good things coming from it. You know, we got to think about the long game. You know, we got to build around our superstar. This is a quarterbacks league.
That's right.
Build around them and keep building around them, and the future's ours.
My old religion teacher, Mr. Schneewise from Bishop Ward High School, used to always say the only permanent thing in your life is change. Yeah. So you might as well get used to it.
Get used to it.
You know,
the people that resist it have, you know, they're just not happy in life. And I'm not saying change is easy. Change is tough.
But it keeps happening.
But it's never going to stop. So you might as well just figure out a way to get used to it.
All right. So if we're talking sports stuff, if my memory sucks so bad. I'm sure I got this. You hosted Late Night.
Yes.
This year, right? Because I remember I took my son up to see Run DMC.
Yeah.
As well, and of you, of course. You and then Run
it's
DMC.
It's okay, dude. I went to see.
Right.
But so you got to host. Now they won the national championship. That's like basically like you have to host every year now, right?
Or is that pretty much?
Yeah.
And also, I think I hosted Late Night in 2012, and we made it to the finals.
Okay.
And lost to Kentucky that year. So, do I have the magic? I don't know. Maybe.
I think that the results speak for themselves.
I know I'm 2 for 2. I know that the two times I hosted Late Night, we went to the championship game, and we're 1-1. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it was.
Maybe we sign up for that. Those odds.
Did
you go?
I did not. I was working. I was bummed. But I would have loved to have gone.
Were you able to watch it with some buddies?
Oh,
or
yeah. Oh,
like
gosh.
That,
yeah,
or?
Absolutely. I mean, I watched it with my kids. I remember we were down by 15 at halftime. It was 25-40 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my phone was blowing up with all these, you know, all the haters out there trying to bust my beans about it.
So you were getting a lot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talk a lot, so yeah. I receive a lot.
Okay, there. That makes sense. I got it.
I receive a lot, you know. So
are these like North Carolina fans, you know, or like Missouri fans, you know, like who's, or just everybody?
Just everybody.
A little bit everyone.
Yeah.
And in a way, I kind of get it because I'm, you know, every time they see me, it's like, what? Right. I'm all up in their grill about the Jayhawks. So I'm sure they were like, now's my chance. Now I'm gonna really stick it to him.
Yeah.
So my phone was blowing up. You know, my son was down, almost like the Texan game.
Right. Yeah.
My son was a little down. I said, guys, you know. And at that point, you know, you're also grabbing a straw. So I was like, everybody, put your head up. Lift your head up. This is it. That's why they play two halves, not one half. You know, there's two halves to this game. And the Jayhawks have always come from behind. Like, they love to rally. That's their thing. It's been their MO all season. And I'm really saying it to myself. You know, this is me coaching me up.
Right.
So I can get positive again so that I can enjoy the rest of the game. And lo and behold, it worked. And again, I got to look at my son and be like, you see, it's never over.
You think about that, though, between, you know, what happened with the Royals being down to Houston in 15 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And we're thinking, oh, it's over here. And it came back. And then that Texans game and how many times the Chiefs came. Yep. When I was literally laying on the ground at Arrowhead, just like looking up and being, oh, come on, get up. They just scored. And then that, I mean, like, we've been, you're lucky if as a fan base, or you're lucky in a town to see like one of those comebacks, like in your life, at least a championship. And it's like happened so many times.
Yes.
I hope people don't take it for granted because it's been wonderful.
It we have had a magical run of comebacks. Comebacks have been great. As a KU fan, we oftentimes get spoiled because we win a lot in basketball, and we usually win by 10 or more. Like there's a nice comfort zone. So when we get pushed and we have to fight for the wins or come from behind, it's good for us. It's good for everybody to be stretched.
And see, I hope people don't get spoiled with this guy, with Mahomes, you know, because I mean, there was a time like, I wish they could just make it to the championship game. And now it's like, we only made it to the championship game. It sucks, right? I mean, there was a time we just wanted to win a playoff game.
Yeah.
And now, oh, we only won 2 playoff games this year.
We've been to 4 straight AFC championships. Like, I don't, it'll take time maybe to process that even, because you're right. Don't take that for granted, you know. The Bills, remember the classic, the Bills team from the early 90s? you know, they went to 4 Super Bowls in a row, didn't win a single one.
Right.
Right? I mean, at least we've got our one.
Yeah.
We've got two,
we've
actually.
Got that in the
bank. We've got the one with this team.
And it ain't over.
But and this run's going to go on. But if you look, even at Brady, you know, who's probably unquestionably the GOAT of the NFL as far as, you know, his Super Bowl victories and what he's accomplished, he had many down years, you know. So I just don't – if a down year comes, don't unravel. Just regroup and we'll be back. We've got the most talented quarterback in the league. We're going to be
talking.
Fine.
Now we're talking. Let's
Nate's got something on his mind.
He wants to spit it out.
We're gonna get back to Big Slick, and this was just making me think of it when you talked about Patrick Mahomes. 13 years. And this is, this is what is so cool, again, about Kansas City. When everybody in this town identifies something that's pretty cool, it just explodes, right? Mm-hmm. So the first time that you guys did this, and I brag about this for the rest of my life, I got to play in the wiffle ball game at the little K.
You know what?
Yeah, make it about
we
me.
We can't do one effing segment with you ever without him bringing this
no,
up.
No, you're right.
It's been 13 years.
Yeah, and I will.
It could be 13 yes, more and he'll bring this
that's
up.
That's right. That's right. I will. I
did
will
you
bring
hit a
it
dinger?
Up.
Did you hit a dinger?
No, but I started a benches clearing brawl with Paul Rudd because he hit me in the leg and I was on your team.
Yep.
He hit me with a...
Did I think I gave you... Didn't I tell everybody, like, if you get hit...
You got... Yeah, you kind of said, look... Mm-hmm.
That's
kind
of been my
we're
policy.
We're not going to let these guys push us around, you
right.
know?
We're not going to be intimidated by
yeah,
these.
Yeah, you, I think, threw Slugger to the ground, and that's when I realized, mm-hmm. well, now I've got to pretend to charge the mound
that's
here
right.
or else I'm failing the situation. John Oliver, I'm a big fan of his, and I think I had him in a half Nelson at one point, and then I was never invited back, and I don't know why, but in all honesty, like... It was funny because that year I got they say we want you to play this, we're going to mic you up because I was doing pregame stuff for the Royals. Just 1 year later, I was like, hey, so I didn't get to play in the Big Slick thing, and they're like, no. We actually have real celebrities
right.
now. we actually have famous yeah. people coming to town. There's no spot for you. And then
Nate, tickets are available though right now. Ticketmaster, if you'd like to attend. Yeah.
And then next thing you know, Patrick Mahomes is hitting softball home runs on the field. You know, I mean, it's amazing how this thing blew up so fast.
We got you some discounted tickets the next
absolutely.
Year, I think.
He got a Groupon. Yeah. So the Big Slip celebrity softball game is going to be Friday before the Royals play the A's. So what's your expectations for the competition level of the softball game?
It's going to be high stakes.
Right.
You know, it's going to be a blood sport, almost like a Coliseum level.
Right.
Yeah.
Life and death struggle. You know, the last time we were able to do Big Slick live was Big Slick 10. Because we, you know, obviously yeah, COVID,
sure.
we had to go virtual for 2 years. So to be back live is huge. But the last time we did it live, we had 45 celebrities, I think. And this year we have 31 celebrities. So the field,
wow.
I think there's going to be less coverage in the field, so you're going to see a lot more offensive action.
That's what I like.
The bats are going to be hot.
That's exactly what I want. Now,
and I'm looking at the list of celebrities. It's incredible.
I can't wait. And so then we'll go to Saturday. She's one of my favorite performers, and I've never seen her in person. Sheryl Crow.
So excited.
Sheryl Crow.
So excited. Yeah, and she's a Missouri gal.
Yeah.
She's
you know,
local?
She's, she is. It's been, we have, you know, obviously we've tried to recruit her before to come, and she's always been touring or working because she's works hard.
She's fabulous.
And we, you know, it happened. It's one of those moments like, it's happening, it's happening. And so we were very, very excited and very honored and so happy that she's going to come and partake in this. So let's, you know, if you show up, you know, give her a lot of love, treat her right so she comes back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm so excited about that. So Saturday, you got the Big Slick celebrity softball game on Friday at Kauffman Stadium before the Royals play the A's. Tickets are still available. And then also T-Mobile Center on Saturday. Doors open at 7 o'clock. And then 8 o'clock is the Big Slick party and show. And like I said, Sheryl Crow is going to perform. And so tell me and tell people again that are going to get tickets or already have tickets what we can expect from Saturday's festivities.
Saturday, you know, traditionally it's always been, it's a show, a live show. We bring our celebrities up. We have usually some comedy. We've got some, Blake Voigt does some unbelievable magic. We have musical acts. So it's not just Sheryl. There's be David Cook and some other musical acts. David Cook, also a great Kansas City guy. So it's quite an entertainment package, but we also auction off some really cool auction items, experiential stuff that you cannot get anywhere else in the world. There's really cool things like that that go on, and it's a chance for Kansas City, as part of the show, to be entertained and to enjoy themselves and have fun. But it's a big celebration of Children's Mercy Hospital, and you learn more about the hospital, you learn more about the doctors, the nurses, the patients, what's being done there, how their innovations are saving lives every single year. They make new discoveries, new methodologies. You know, they're constantly making progress, and it has a lot to do with the doctors, the nurses, and the money that we raise. You know, it goes towards helping the hospital. So it's a real great chance for everybody, if you care about Children's Mercy Hospital, which is a Kansas City gem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Kansas City treasure, and we have to take care of it. We can't expect Detroit to take care of our Kansas City treasure.
Right, that would be a weird ask.
That would be a weird ask.
Right.
So we have to take care of our own, and so get out there and support Children's Mercy, if you would, please.
Did you know that you're a Kansas City treasure?
You might get an argument or two from some of my high school teachers.
We support you.
We'll take care of you. And we know, and we won't ask Detroit to take care of you.
No way.
Thank you.
How's that sound?
Well, Detroit won't take care of you.
We don't want Detroit's dirty money anyway.
I
don't know. I don't know. I took a shot at Detroit.
That just got so...
Yeah, that would... Brutal. Nate went hot on Detroit.
Dirty money. Hey, all right.
You ever been to Detroit? I mean...
You know, let's go move on from that before we're sued.
I'll point this out, too. Our friends at Charlie Hustle have an awesome... Big Slick Heart KC t-shirt that you can buy. Go to BigSlickKC.org. You buy that t-shirt, money goes to Children's Mercy as well. Another way to support it.
Now, one final, and again, tell people the websites that where everyone
BigSlickKC.org. It's got the schedule, it's got the auction items, it's got the list of all the celebrities.
Buy your tickets. We'll be waiting around.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, buy them now.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
My final question, you've been all around this world. You've done business in many countries and many cities. Have you ever seen a man carrying more paperwork than Chad Boger when he walked in here? A stack of paperwork. You know he means business. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable, right? At least 15 or 20 pounds. What do you say about that?
Hard-working man, clearly.
Right.
Embarrassingly too much paperwork. And carrying it old-school nerd fashion, you know, where it's just spilling out of his arms. Like, get the little red wagon. Put it in there and pull that around the office.
Exactly.
It's time to grow up, Chad.
But it's a tremendous amount of paperwork.
It's too much.
That's what we...
It's too much paperwork. You know, I don't know if he knows it's 2022.
Right.
Actually fantasy football rosters.
Right. He's our commissioner, so he does actually. He's probably is getting ready. Our auction's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, again, thank you for everything that you do. With everyone that comes together to put this great event for Children's Mercy and being such a great ambassador of Kansas City, man.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always great to see you guys.
And we'll have you in anytime you want.
Thank you.
All right. And hopefully, you know, NFL draft will get something going.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a gigantic party.
Yeah.
Something tells me they're going to be asking you to be up on stage with ESPN,
I hope so.
Local celebrity like Michael Bublé was this year.
I'd be more than happy to do anything they want.
Just make plans to interview Rob at the Super Bowl when the Chiefs go back this
year. Bingo, right there.
That's how we'll end that.
And we'll see you in Tahoe, too.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're going to be there? I'll be there. We'll reconvene in Lake Tahoe just in a couple of weeks. That is Mr. Rob Riggle. Big Slick Weekend is here. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to our guests so far. We had Mike Boddicker in the studio. We talked to Gary Lezak, and we just had Rob Riggle talking about Big Slick KC. He was able to fit some promotion in there between Nate promoting himself from 13 years ago, but that's fine. We made it work, and now everyone's happy. And now we have Jake Gutierrez, who I don't believe we've ever had as a guest on the show, sitting in very comfortably in the seat. Is this odd for you, Nate?
Fits.
You seem very withdrawn today. You seem not engaged.
What's on the mind, young fellow?
Doesn't he? He seems like he's you're not present.
There's a lot going on there.
In what way?
Big sporting game.
He's like you're not present. You're not here. You're just kind
of. I just self-promoted
here,
in the last
but
segment.
Here. No, but you know? No, like now. I mean, you're.
There's a different vibe.
You're
to
not
you.
Animated. I feel
I'm
like
as animated as I need to be. I need
feel
to,
like you. You don't like Jake being here.
I kind of feel like that too.
don't you feel like? I feel like you're not excited to see him. I feel like you were like, oh.
Why,
he picked up on that vibe.
What?
Right back.
I don't
where
know.
We left
I just is there. Is there?
What am I doing?
I thought
to
this would be a fun
off.
Surprise for everyone. Like Mike Bodiger was like, oh, hey, and you were just like, Jesus,
this guy again, this guy again.
All right.
Like that children's book I sent you. Oh no, this a hole again. Yeah. Remember? Still, I gotta find that meme. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, we were just talking.
I mean, it is weird sitting on the same side of the glass with Jake.
Marco tried to lock the door.
Yeah, he locked the door. Wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Did you see Marco walked up to him? He goes, "I am the captain now."
I think Marco and I are both trying to figure out like whose job is he coming after here? Is he coming after mine or is he coming after yours?
Honestly,
both.
Mine.
So I'm retired, man. I don't need no jobs.
I peppered you, I feel like, with questions. By the way, I listened back to that, and it made me laugh several times. Our podcast,
It's good.
The first half of it, especially when we were introduced to your process with this book.
Yeah.
And so, I love you, but I'm so tired of people wherever I go. So where's Jake? I'm like, I mean, you know, he's in Colorado. I don't. He said they,
you already need to.
But they
just
think
start
it's
giving
a lie.
People my cell phone.
But they think everything that is a lie that we're high. You know, like what do you want me to tell you? Yeah. He's in Colorado. That's not all true, is it? I said it's all true. Yeah. And so then, the next question is, well, when's the book coming out? I said, don't ask me that because I don't know.
Because I've heard that fall 2022. That's the goal.
But this book has been nothing but empty promises to me.
Sure.
And so now, here we are.
Here we are.
And it's June 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, 20 years ago tonight, I saw Marco Antonio Barrera and Eric Morales, the rematch at the MGM Grand. And so where are you with this book?
This book.
And I want nothing but, you say you're a truth teller, tell the truth.
Yeah, no, I'm turning it, it's done.
What's that mean, done?
Well, I have about 800 words I got typed that are on a piece of paper, and then I'm done. Then
okay, so it's not done.
Well, no, it's done. I hand wrote this whole book. Like,
Lebo asked me that yesterday, and I said, no, he didn't hand write it.
I hand wrote the whole thing. I should have brought it in. I have, like, a stack of, you know, the yellow pads I used to carry with me everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Chad. I took like a stack of them before I left.
Hey, that was up. You were an employee here. You have access to the office supplies.
No, but
did you choose to handwrite this book?
Okay, I think initially I started writing this in 2017 when I was, the book has a lot of my story in it, right? It's, I'm selling my knowledge of failure is what I'm doing.
Is that what you're doing? Okay.
So, I mean, honestly, this book started in 2017. You guys knew me. I've been divorced, guys, in that there's part of that in the book. That's kind of what spurred it on for me to start. Just it was very therapeutic because when you write, when you put pen to paper, pencil to paper, whatever your apparatus of choice is, it's a therapeutic way of slowing down your brain because you cannot write as fast as you think. You can type pretty fast, so you can type pretty close to how you think, you know, definitely at a faster pace. But when you actually write, it forces you to slow down. So when I started this book, I wrote about a chapter or two in 2017 when I was living with my buddy JD, and it was more of a therapeutic process, and it was a really selfish, selfish. I guess drive. I was like, I'm going to write a book. It's going to be super successful. But it never got anywhere, obviously. But then once I took myself out of this process and in 2020, when I saw a lot of crazy things going on in this world, it stopped being about me. This book was no longer my book. And I use the word God very loosely because nobody in this universe knows what I mean when I say God. But at that point in time, it became God's book because I looked around and saw people, who in my mind, when I looked at them, and look, I don't judge people, but I discern, and I have respect for people who are educated and well-rounded and family people. And when those type of people are coming up to me and saying, what are you doing? Because this what's going on doesn't seem to be affecting you. I have to say, like, what the hell? Why are these people asking me, you know, what am I doing? You know, I have my stuff together and these people don't. That for me, that was a eye opener. So at that point in time, because I was, you know, just telling them, hey, why don't you try this? Why are you doing this? It seemed to be helping people. I seemed to be helping people that way. And at that point in time, I was like, well, that book that I started in 2017, this is God's way of telling me I have an ability to help people help themselves. So I need to put this on paper. And so at that point in time, that's when there was a giant shift into, you know, long-windedly. So that's when I started actually putting pen to paper, because that process, it's a therapeutic process, and it forced me to slow things down. But also, it was a painful process, too. I mean, reliving some of the things that I went through, digging up old emotions I didn't even know that I had there, you know, like as an 11, 12-year-old boy, you guys both know my parents' story. My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1991. Well, I mean, when I sat down and examined what that process was like to watch my mother go, and we're talking about 1991, so, you know, that's 30 years ago from now. The process of somebody going through chemotherapy and radiation was pretty effing brutal. It was pretty effing brutal to watch, but what I didn't realize is that as a 12-year-old boy to watch that go on and realize that, you know, my mom might die as a kid, that's a traumatic experience.
Yes.
That leaves some scars. Yes. So going back and reliving that, I was able to pull out that trauma and examine it and sit with it. And, you know, it's like that helped me. But also, you know, there's, you know, we all have our stuff, whatever it is. And my stuff's not worse than anybody else's stuff. It's just mine. And so, you know, that's kind of putting pen to paper was my process that I started back in 2021 when I went up there. And it's just, I had to handwrite it. And so, yeah, it was all handwritten. So when you ask me if the book's done, it's all written out. I got about 800 words on the end that I put down. I just need to type that out. And so to speak, ready for its first edit. I don't know what the editing process is like. I'm not an editor, so that's
who's your editor? Can you mention?
I don't. I'll ask her if she wants her name out. I'm not going to say it without having her permission.
Is she a professional editor, or is she just doing this as a favor for you?
So she went to journalism school.
Okay.
At KU.
Is it someone you knew before?
So yes, yeah, okay. Somebody okay. who all knows right, me right. quite well.
Okay.
And when I told her, she
what years was she in J school? Would I know her?
No, she's probably, I don't want to say her age, but she's probably, I know your age, you're 4 or 5 years older than me, so she's probably about 6 years older than you.
You don't want to say her age, but basically you just said her age.
People don't listen, they don't know how old Nate is.
Okay, so.
So I think she's a couple of years before you, probably.
Okay, so she agreed to do this. And then you have a consultant. Who's the consultant?
I'm not saying
but like nobody. Like, you don't have to give the name, but who's the, like, is it a professional consultant? Is this a confidant?
A confidant is very, I trust this person dearly. And
do they have any literary experience or connections? Or
they were educated. I mean, they, you know, they went to Central Florida, and I mean, they're familiar with the field,
okay,
so to speak.
So, okay, take away your personal reasons of why you've written the book, and then what do you hope people will gain from this? Like, okay, so somebody goes and buys this book for how much? Have we decided that
yet? We don't know yet.
Because over the course of a podcast,
right,
the price went up like 33%. And so we need to come up with a price point, and it's going to be hardback or
yeah,
or
I think the first printing is going to be hardback. So, okay. So I'll have it edited, and then, you know, I'll talk to the consultant. Then it's going to be proofread twice, and then I'll have a book designer.
Is your consultant David Smale?
No, okay. No. And so then I'll have a prototype made. And then that will be, you know, I'll have like 5 or 10 prototypes. And then at that point in time, I'll decide if I want to self-publish or if I want to try to take that to a publisher and say, hey, what do you think?
Okay. But when you somebody buys this book, mm-hmm. you want them to get what from it? Or what can they expect to get from it? What do you like? Is this like you got to like market this thing? Like there's a guy right now. Say, I like Jake.
So
I kind of like what he's about, but I don't know if I want to spend $24.95, which is my suggested retail price, $24.95 for this
That's
book.
That's a good price.
Right? Is that... Is that reasonable? I mean, you tell me. I don't know.
That seems reasonable.
I feel like that's right.
Yeah.
I would go $19.95, but I'm trying to line his pockets, so let's go an extra $24.95
like
to get some more profit.
That's a good round price.
Then, but like, if somebody says, okay, what am I going to get out of this book? Is this just him, Jake writing about his life? Is this Jake giving me life lessons? Is this a self-help book? Is this an inspirational book? What is this book?
If you went to a bookstore, it probably would be found either in the self-help or spirituality side. Yeah, as I said earlier, it's I'm selling my knowledge of failure, right? So it's a lot of stories about, you know, what my life was like, what I did, and what it's like now. I believe, truly, that God put me through a lot of contrast in my life, through a lot of different areas. You guys have seen a lot of versions in 20 years of Jake sitting behind that glass, whether it's me eating 5 breakfast sandwiches and chucking one at Nate and being 374 pounds.
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was, right? But, I mean, you also saw probably a pretty sad-looking guy sitting there some days, too. So, I mean, it's like I've battled with a lot of different negative emotions in my life, and we all do. We all deal with, you know, especially in the day and age that we're living, I believe that there's a mental health crisis currently going on in this country, in this world, so to speak. And so it's basically to equip people with some tools to help themselves, because I don't have the power to help anybody else. And I had to learn that a really hard way, because a lot of people cared about me and they tried to help me. They tried really hard to help me, and it went all of, you know, it failed because they don't have the power. We don't, as individuals, I can't really help either one of you two. What I can do is say, hey, this is what I did. Here, try this out and see if it works for you. And you this story is like, you can be your own hero. Like you can fix yourself with a couple of things that aren't God-given talents. You know, we watched Bobby Witt Jr. hit 2 home runs. Well, there's only a handful of people in this world who can step to that plate and hit 2 home runs in the major leagues. That's a God-given ability that he was given. Well, I've acquired some abilities that aren't God-given. You know, it's, you know, hard work, discipline, you know, things like those that I've acquired through training my brain, training my body, that aren't, anybody can acquire these tools. You just have to, you have to acquire the knowledge and then take some action. And, you know, if you do those things that, you know, those, that contrast that I talk about, you know, I believe that I've created templates for different things, whether it be being 374 pounds, losing 170 pounds, reversing type 2 diabetes, battling massive depression to the level of, you know, it's a very gray area, but I believe I had a level of suicidal depression in some, you know, it's been diagnosed that. So, you know, whether it be losing a loved one, I've created these templates that work for me. And what I would say is take this template, it's a rough draft, lay it over you, screw in it where it needs to be screwed in, and take this general rough draft and create it and make it your own template. But here's some places to start. You know, here's some things to try. You know, life is about trial and error. You know, that it's all about trial and error. And it's like defeat. Defeat is like one of the most, for me, defeat is like nature's language when we can't hear any other language. Like when we're not listening to anything else, defeat will teach us a lot. But it's not negative until we decide it's failure, right? Defeat and failure are two different things. You can learn from being defeated and you know, and like I truly believe that that's a lot of defeating in my life. I've been defeated in a lot of different areas, but it wasn't failure because I've been able to turn it into you know, power pills. I got these, you know, I have this power from all this defeating that, you know, beating myself up for a long time. I had to eventually get to a place where I was uncomfortable enough to say, I don't want this anymore. I need to do something about it in several different areas of my life. So hopefully someone would read this book. And my goal when I sat down to write this in 2020 was I hope this book can put more good into the world, because that's what this world needs, more good. And by doing that, if I can help somebody help themselves, and then that person goes out and does the same thing, just two people. If I can help two people help someone help themselves, and then that person helps somebody else help themselves, well, great success. I win. I'm not writing this book for money. I'm not writing this book for any type of fame or success. I'm writing this book to put more good into the world, because I believe that's what that's what God put me here to do, is to put more good in the world. And for a long time, I was putting a lot of negativity in this world. So I have, so to speak, an amends to make for all the wasted time that I spent being a negative person and doing negative things that, you know, by the grace of God, I sit here, because a lot of action in my life could have harmed others or myself in some of the thoughtless actions I was taking in my life on a regular basis.
But you'll take the money, right?
If there's some to be made,
right,
sure.
You're not going to, like,
no,
decline
I'm
that.
I'm not going to donate it all. It's, I mean, it's going to the
Where can people...
Fund.
We'll keep you here, but just before we break, where can people reserve the book at?
Yeah, go to samuraiofsoul.com.
Is that the name of the book?
Samurai of Soul is the name of the book. You know, SOS, basically the International Sign of Help. So samuraiofsoul.com. Check it out. You can go reserve your copy now. I believe there are still... So the first 100 people who signed up are getting NFTs. That's already passed.
Marco's just showed his excitement. What are you getting, an NFT?
I didn't know if there was still... I'm going to reserve it now, so
too
I can
late.
Get
yeah,
an
NFT. Too late.
Too late. You missed out on the NFT.
But you can get an autographed copy. Right. First 500. That we have probably, you know, 100 copies.
Did
of
you get an
copies.
NFT? Did you reserve
no,
it
I
early?
I missed it.
Steven did.
That's okay, though, because I don't really know what an NFT
is. Whatever it is, I got it. So. I was top 100.
A non-fungible token on the Sologenix Network.
Explain it to him. Come on, guys. Blockchains.
He says, come on, guys.
It's like owning your own piece of artwork. You own artwork in your home?
Yes.
So it's just like owning a piece of artwork.
But it's on a computer?
It's digital. It's got its own digital code on a blockchain.
Yeah, so where do I display this artwork?
Wherever you want, man. Turn it into an avatar. I mean, how many times do you go to social media and see someone's avatar?
Every day.
On Twitter, right?
Every day,
you know?
Day.
There be,
so what can he do? Can he like put it on his phone? Go look at my NFT here.
Yeah, you can put it back on the blockchain and sell it. You can sell your piece of artwork.
You want to do that? No, I mean, you don't get one. So what am I asking you for? Put it. No, he didn't get one.
Does that mean he can't go get an NFT of his own?
Can he get? What if? Can you? Can he get an NFT?
I might commission some other ones that sell them. Possibly.
How much does it cost to commission one? I'm this is where I'm confused with this.
I know people that make them.
Okay, so you have someone that make them.
Yep.
Made how many of them? 100 of them?
100 of them.
How much does it cost to get 100 of them made?
Well, I mean, I don't have the final number, because what you have to do is you have to burn tokens to put them on the blockchain. So this is on the...
Does that make sense to you?
So I ask
questions. So you have some crypto then?
Oh, I got a bunch of crypto. I'm packing bags, baby.
Does it bother you what a detriment to the environment crypto is?
Not on the XRP network. It's very clean.
Okay.
That's very clean. XRP.
Follow up on what you're saying. Why is it a detriment to the environment?
I would just read. Because
Bitcoin's dirty, man. I don't have any
trying to learn
Bitcoin.
About this stuff. And apparently, like, the process of encrypting or whatever you call it, decrypting some of that money, it takes so
power.
Much electricity
power.
For a computer to process the whole thing that it actually is like a terrible...
Bitcoin is slow.
Like the carbon footprint of Bitcoin is like...
Bitcoin is slow and dirty. It's not...
Really,
you don't,
it's really like it's really, really bad.
XRP,
for,
look into it. Super clean. It's fast. It's like 10... I don't want to start throwing numbers out.
Do you think you'll look into it?
You know, here's how I feel about NFTs and Bitcoins and all those things is that... I'm fully aware that I might be missing out on an absolute gold mine that's right in front of me. I have zero interest.
It's not about missing out. Like, it's going to be a way of life. It's going to be, it's going to, like, it's decentralized, but it's going to be, eventually, the United States of America, they're going to have a crypto-backed dollar.
You'll be on board whether you like it or not. So you just better go ahead and jump on the bandwagon is what he's saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's not about jumping on a bandwagon. It's like,
yeah.
It's
not like that.
Like, it's like when they first printed dollars, because they used to just carry around gold and silver, yeah. Right?
I would
it's like,
did.
Oh, these dollar bills. I'm not buying into these right. dollar bills.
So you would have been one of these guys with a bag of gold.
Aren't you kind of not buying into these dollar bills now? Like,
I mean, that's why they're getting rid of them.
See,
back in the dollar bill, used to be able to go get a piece of silver for that dollar bill. There used to be value behind it.
Yeah, but why is there value behind silver? That's a social construct,
right.
too.
We hold it right here. That's a pause. Right. And we'll find out. But what I can promise you is this. One of us here is going to get an NFT. And it ain't Marco, and it ain't Nate. Right. It's me.
You know?
Right. Back after this on WHB.